shine, little Lubber, glimmer, glimmer, lead us.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with my favorite worms. It's Lance and Lulu.
Good evening.
Hi, everybody.
Hello. You know, I think David from Cedar Edge called you Thumbs last week.
Oh yeah.
My favorite Thumbs.
My favorite Thumbs.
Yep, 527-4868, 1-866 KVNF now. Jeff is in the control room ready to take your call, and Lance and Lulu are here to talk about it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it.
We are.
Yeah, but a nice afternoon rain.
A couple hours. You're on your, what, fourth outfit today?
Third.
Pretty good guess.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Little wet out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're coming up on a big day, Mother's Day, which seems to be a big day for everybody. It's a planting day.
Yeah. It's planting from now on.
Uh-huh. Right. And is that a big day for you this weekend, or are you?
I'm actually going to wait till Memorial Day weekend.
You are.
I'm going to, for corn and squash and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, that's
the later hot weather stuff. I'm still planting carrots all the time, lettuce.
Right. Right.
Lettuce and
filthy little carrots.
Well, you know what's really bad about the carrots is that thinning thing.
Hey, we know what's really bad about the carrots.
If you really don't like thinning, you grow them. Yeah, is you just buy seed tape. Or you can get, there's actually this tape, and it's called seed tape.
Uh-huh.
And it usually is for carrots, but it's small seeded stuff, and it's made out of cellulose, corn starch.
Right.
And it just breaks down. It has a carrot seed or seed. Every 1 inch, every 2 inch.
And you just lay that in your bed?
Yeah,
And
you can also get pelleted seeds. Makes it a little bit easier to put one seed every spot you want.
Right.
But then what if you don't get good germination?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's the problem with those things. I mean, it's a great idea until you've got 4 inches between one carrot and the next.
Yeah.
Right. And then you miss out on the whole thinning
thing. Yeah, and you don't get to thin. Oh,
right.
But
thinning's an opportunity, huh, Lance?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like thinning. Mm-hmm. And I don't let anybody else do it in my yard.
You don't?
No.
Oh, you're picky unless, about that, are you?
I'm very picky.
Uh-huh.
People would have to be right with me doing it.
Right.
You know.
And what's the strategy there? I know you're checking out the soil.
Well, when I'm thinning carrots and the onions, I'll get a really good weeding because I'm right there on my knees.
Yeah,
you get all those seedlings. This is where Lulu and I probably figured out what every seedling that's coming up, we know what it is.
Yeah, yep. Even if it only has two tiny little leaves.
Yeah, we know.
Right.
I know who you are, you filthy brat. Get out of there.
And then you get to pick out the rocks and the, all those kinds of stuff. And you see what kind of bugs are starting to show up.
Right.
So. I even seen
you can see the worm nests.
Yeah. I've even seen the starting of daughter, D-O-T-T-E-R, that parasite that gets the long orange stringy stuff.
Orange stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
And so you can tell what problems might be.
Yeah, I've seen that on thinning. It doesn't happen so much in my garden anymore because that daughter likes dry and my garden's watered.
Right.
So after all these years, I don't think there's many spores left in my yard.
Have you ever seen that stuff that, honest to God, looks like some animal threw up in the yard? I can't think of any way to say it.
Can you be more specific?
I can't.
Was it on the wood chips?
No, I've had it in various
places. I've seen it on wood chips.
Yeah. I forget what it's called, but there's not a more graceful way to say it. I'm sorry. That's what it looks like.
What is it? A bug or what?
No, it's a fungus-y thing.
Fungus.
Yeah.
You know,
it's breaking down things.
Yeah. It's just going, doing its normal thing. But that stuff is so weird. You know, and daughter, not that daughter reminds me of it, but daughter kind of is like that. It just shows up and takes over, and there's
a fungus among us.
That's the thing.
That is the thing. And
save us from ourselves.
527-4868-1-866 KVNF now.
Yeah, but the other thing about thinning though is that you get to see what the soil's doing.
Yeah, right. A lot of indicators down there. I mean, you're really setting yourself up for
you can do it in. Take a knee pad, or I usually just take a tarp, the burlap tarps, and fold it up.
Yeah, just kneel down there and get right into it, right?
Yeah.
So why don't you give us a report on the carrots? Because where are we with that?
Well, the first bed is half-thinned.
Half-thinned already.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's every 1 inch. That's a smaller carrot. And the second bed is up, and the third bed is ready to plant.
Okay.
And two more beds after that.
Rolling right along,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't planted anything, but I did get everything rototilled. So that was the good news.
You have a late start, and that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a different garden.
Yeah, late starts are fine. You know, so anybody who's out there, you know, don't. I always think Mother's Day is kind of the, you know, good time.
Uh-huh.
Right around Mother's Day, it seems like things sort of stabilize a little bit.
Yeah.
I get less nervous. You know, like I'll actually go buy some annuals to put around and stuff.
I know. It gets really exciting.
Yeah,
Feels like it warms up.
Get the big geraniums
not put my tarps away.
Oh, no.
I fold them up and put them in the shed. But no, they're not. They're in the garden room, but they're not folded and put away.
Right. You know, Jeff, in the control room, was looking up the average last frost for the North Fork Valley here is the first week of June. That's the average. Yeah. So it could still freeze after
Wednesday. Yeah,
there's usually a light frost, but
And the average second frost, the next frost could be the second week in June.
It could be.
The last frost.
I've seen it happen.
First frost could be the second week in June. You know, the week after it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Did I say that wrong? Probably. That's okay.
Never mind. Freeze anywhere, anytime here in Colorado. Maybe a 4th of July snowstorm. You had some frosted grapes, Lance.
Oh, yeah. Talk about those.
Yeah, let's talk about you're thinking about that.
Mainly the younger ones that were lower to the ground and some that are a little bit more shaded. And so we'll see. There's three buds within every bud, so the primary is obviously gone. The secondary might produce grapes, and it might not. So we'll see. So it'll be interesting to see. And, you know, they had that on what? That was actually on the local news about wine grapes, and they talked about the three buds that are in there.
Yeah, right.
You know, but anyways, they've been frosted, and they're still coming out, and we'll see how it all goes.
Could still come around.
Yeah.
You know, grapes are a mystery to me, I swear. So there you are. You've got your little grapes. You know, I mean, I guess if you have a lot of plants, then it's good to do that. Keep your stems, your main branches short.
Short.
And they just keep producing every year.
Yeah.
See, I don't got it. Okay.
Grapevines, they're not as vigorous is the term. And they don't, like my table's grapes, some of them will grow 12 to 15 feet after pruning.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah, that's crazy.
Wine grapes will never do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so table grapes, you're going to plant every 12 to 14 feet. Wine grapes, every 5 feet, because they're just not that vigorous.
Right. My Concords will do 12, 15 feet. They'll come up over the top of the arbor, and the arbor is really high, and then they reached out last year to their little hawthorn tree, and they were up in the hawthorn tree, way up.
Yeah. If they got support, they'll do more than 12 feet.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they have a grand time.
Yeah.
So then you just whack that whole thing off?
Yeah.
That's so sad. I just can't do it.
Think of making baskets.
There you go. Basket weavers.
Well, yeah, I did. I mean, yeah, I know. But it just...
Oh, we're talking grapes, and Skip is on the line with a question. Hi, Skip.
Oh, good. Hi, Skip.
And ironically, for maybe the first time ever, I'm not asking a question about grapes.
Okay. That's okay.
No, I recently... Well, so I used to have this big tree in my yard. I mean, before it was my yard, it was a big tree. And then by the time it was my yard, it was a big tree stump. And over the years, I sort of chopped it down with an axe, and then I had a little fire on the spot. And it kind of looks like mostly dirt there now, but I know there's still, like, big pieces of,
stump.
You know, tree wood. Stump in there. And I was kind of curious, like, do you guys think that it's, like, okay to just plant something there? Like, I could potentially plant grass or maybe another tree or something like that. I don't know.
First of all, what kind of tree was it?
Yeah, that's the first question.
You know, I don't even know. It was big. I know that, and it was just a stump. when I inherited it.
Like maybe an elm or something.
Yeah, I mean, probably, you know, if it was big.
That's my guess.
You can easily plant grass over it. I don't, you know, the problem with the tree is there might be bacterias that are in that dead stump that can get into your roots of your other tree. It's a possibility. Right. It's not given, but it can happen.
Okay. Yeah.
But even, I mean.
So it's not a bad thing to just experiment and just sort of put whatever there, basically.
Yeah, go for it. You might have to fertilize a little bit more nitrogen type stuff because it's wood.
Right.
And it's all carbon.
Right, so it's already.
But that root,
go ahead.
The system probably goes down pretty deep, I would suspect, right?
Yeah, it goes down deep, but it also is quite broad.
Uh-huh.
But
stretches
those big,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think if it was a maple, Lance? Do you think that some of those little feeder roots would still be on the surface?
Uh huh.
So you could do that, Skip. You could kind of like just fuss around in the dirt, dig down about, I don't know what, six, 8 inches,
yeah.
And just see if there's they're little feeder roots off the maples, and they're small. They're really small. They're fine. They're like just sort of annoying. Like maybe it looks kind of like somebody left a burlap bag down on the ground or something.
Well, and it was cool when I put through some brush on top of it, and I kind of let it sit there for a few years to age. And I finally decided to like light it on fire, and it lit and burned really nicely. And then, but then, like as that was going and it was dying down, I was kind of digging, like you said, about like 6 inches, 8 inches down, and it was almost like I was mining wood out of the dirt.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was kind of kooky. And then I just tossed that extra root system on top of the fire and.
Put it out.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it actually kept burning.
Wow.
It did? Wow,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it was sort of cool. But anyway, all right, well, cool. I think that answers my question.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only other thing that might happen is the ground might settle as the wood rots,
right.
You know. So you actually might put a little dirt or something on top.
Dirt on top.
Yeah.
Maybe a little flower bed.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll probably call back and you know what happened.
Okay, good.
All right, thanks, Skip.
Perfect. Thanks, Skip. Good luck with that. That sounds like a nice little spot to just mess around with, see what you can get going.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I cut down this wild plum that has put up suckers everywhere. Right? And so I got ugly with it, and I drilled holes in it, and I put rock salt in it.
Yeah, took care of it.
Yeah. It's still suckering, but.
Yeah.
Well.
I had some friends that we did everything right. We cut this locust tree down, and we dug it all the roots out. But I've had my own experience with locust trees, and even though you cut it down, all those roots that are 10 and 15 and 20 feet away from the tree, they all sucker.
Yeah.
Every single, you know, just because you've done a good job getting the stump out of the ground doesn't mean that
you don't think it's gone.
No.
Oh, Lord. I'll remember that. I had this dream. Okay. I had this dream last week that for some reason, I don't know what was going on. The town of Paonia was doing something, and they came to my yard and they ripped out all my rose bushes and cut down my two locust trees.
Oh, darn.
I know. And it was like they were going to put in a sidewalk or something, and I was so sad.
Well, heavens to Betsy, God. I'm glad that was a dream. Lulu.
Yeah, but now I know that if they do come and cut down my locust trees, I'm going to really be upset.
Yeah.
But I'll get more locust trees.
Yes, you'll
so
get
that's
lots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Those suckers
so
will
maybe
be all over the
right.
place.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not one thing, it's another, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah.
You can't win for losing.
You just got to stay on top of it.
Right.
That's
and then you when
you
think you've lost, you go, oh, wait a second. Maybe not. Maybe this is a great and wonderful thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Hey, speaking of great and wonderful things, well, I'm going to give the phone numbers first of all. 527-4868, 1-866, KVNF now. This is the time of year when all those little elm tree seeds are all over and people are sweeping them up and finding them in there, blocking their radiators and things like that in the car.
No, it's true.
The gutters.
Yeah.
But I had a different outlook. Just in this one, if you take that seed, it is so pretty and perfect. The seed in the middle with that wrapper around it, perfect circle,
right,
ready to blow in the wind.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's really quite beautiful.
It's quite efficient.
Yeah, quite efficient.
There you go.
And I was telling Jill, and when they're ready to blow, the wind starts blowing.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
They don't ask me how they do that, but especially since they're Chinese elms. They're not from here, but when they're ready.
Oh,
when they're
with, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like when the ash trees bud, it's time to plant what?
Gladiolus.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
gladiolus.
Right. I love
we
that
decided
kind of
that
stuff.
Last
yeah.
year. Last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever.
I think it's time to sweep the porch.
Yeah. You know what I've noticed, though, about over the years about gladiolas, because they generally don't winter over in the soil.
Yeah.
But because we're having milder winters, they are starting to winter over.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fabulous.
I've had some planted in for 3 years in the same place.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. My yellow irises are coming out.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yep, and one of my big red peonies is just starting to come out.
Yeah, they're just about ready to come out, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's near the yellow iris, so
that's going to be a pretty
little
one.
Little bouquet.
Yeah.
The bees are loving it, huh?
The bees
are really having
bees
a good
having a good
time.
Right?
Bees
yeah. Bumble
are good.
Bees.
Yeah. Oh, where do bumblebees go? I mean, I got to look this up.
They're solitary, and they dig burrows.
Yeah, because I was at my sister's house, and this bumblebee came zooming in, and it went right to this exact spot, and then it went down under the leaves, and that was that.
And that was its burrow, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I was very happy.
Wow,
yeah.
Cool.
Clearly had come from somewhere and, you know, zeroed right in on that spot and went into its little...
Wow.
And I thought, wow, does it have babies down there,
yeah.
You know?
It's hibernating?
No, that's where they live.
Oh.
They live in the ground.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All winter long?
Probably.
Wow.
Yeah, well,
that's amazing.
They don't fly south, that's
right.
For sure.
Yeah.
Heavens.
So do they lay their eggs? I
yes.
mean, obviously they lay their eggs wherever
yes.
they have their burrows.
Yeah, they're down in those burrows.
Mm.
Yeah. Huh.
So there's why you can sometimes step on a bumblebee. Because they are
yeah,
in the
I hate
ground.
That.
I know.
And it's so sad. How many, do you know how many eggs they lay when they lay?
No, I don't know that.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or
okay,
someone that knows about bees.
Or somebody who knows about bumblebees. Yeah.
Yeah. We learn a lot from our callers.
I know. So somebody out there knows something. Give us a call and tell us where the bumblebees put their eggs and
yeah.
how many?
Well, the bumblebees they're really going out to right now is
yeah.
the Russian Caragana.
Oh, nice.
Siberian pea shrub.
Mm-hmm. Nice, yeah.
I used to have a lot of those,
uh-huh.
and then I cut them down. When the comfrey flowers, they love
the
comfrey.
Comfrey. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's one of their favorite.
I mean, they still go out to dandelions.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're out there.
Nice. You had a little dandelion project going, my dear.
Yes, I
in
did.
In your garden. It's
yeah.
pretty ambitious. Can you
tell
us what that was?
Yeah, because I grow dandelions on purpose, right? So
mm-hmm.
I have a row of dandelions, and the best idea is to keep them from going to seed. Because you don't, you know, so I go out there and I pick all the heads off. I picked them all off last week, and they're still... holding. It's great. No dandelion
oh,
seeds.
Wow.
Yeah, and then the leaves get bigger and everything gets
ooh,
happier.
Nice, yeah.
You know? And then this round I'll dry, so it's good to have big leaves.
Nice
somebody
going.
Called?
Hey, it's David on the line. He knows about bumblebees.
Oh, I'm
yes.
so excited. Hooray.
Hi, David.
Hi. Yeah, I've studied bumblebees for quite a while up at the Rocky Mountain Biological
oh,
Lab.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
right.
I was interested to see this spring that we have one, I think one common species, which is Bombus huntii, a very pretty bee with yellow and orange on it.
Uh-huh.
And then just this week, I think I saw a couple of queens of another species. So there may be at least two bumblebee species here. But if you go up a little bit higher, I mean, like if you were to drive up Kepler Pass or climb some of the mountains around here, you'd start seeing different species. They have particular altitudes where they're where they
cool.
tend to live.
Wow.
And they have an annual life cycle, so the queens are coming out now, and they've started collecting pollen. They collected pollen from Siberian peas in our yard, and also from they were visiting gooseberries and visiting ajuga. So they'll visit plants that aren't native. But they're probably sitting on their brood right now, what they've done is make a little a ball of wax and pollen, lay eggs in it, and then they sit on it, and they actually incubate it. They can raise their body temperature by with their metabolism, and that makes the eggs develop more quickly and the larvae develop more quickly. And after they have a first brood of maybe 4 or 6 workers, and I haven't seen any workers yet, so it'll probably be another couple of weeks before we see the smaller worker bees. And then they'll make a couple of generations of worker bees and then start making new reproductives at the end of the summer. And then the males and the new queens will mate, and the new queens find a place to overwinter underground, and all the workers and the males die off. They don't survive the winter.
Wow.
Different species of bumblebees have different tongue lengths. There are three categories, short, medium, and long-tongued bees. And so they'll visit appropriate flowers that have the corolla tooth that match their tongue length.
Wow, fascinating.
Wow. And so what we're seeing now is the queens, mostly?
Yeah, these are queens that were born last summer, spent the winter somewhere underground. And probably their nests are underground, although there are some species where I work up at the Rocky Mountain Biological Lab that will nest above ground, like in an old mouse nest, or occasionally even in a tree, like an old bird nest in a tree.
Oh, my goodness. That's fabulous.
David,
yeah,
that is so fabulous.
Yeah.
What a good story.
Yeah, that is great. So they do winter over.
The queens.
Yeah, the queens
only
are winter
queens
over.
Too.
Wow, great.
And they hatch their eggs.
Right, they're sitting on them.
Yeah, warming, keeping them warm. Another interesting thing about bumblebees is that they're responding to climate change. And the species that we used to see, for instance, down around Gunnison, we just started in the last year or two seeing up around Crested Butte or even higher. So as the summers are getting warmer, the bees are moving up.
Wow.
And the problem is that there's some bee species that were already used to living on the tops of mountains or up in the alpine tundra. And so what happens when all the lower altitude bees decide it's too hot down below and move up into the alpine? So we don't know whether there's just going to be a lot more competition, or whether the bees that live up in the alpine now are going to end up getting kicked off the mountains and going extinct.
Wow, yeah, that's amazing. That's fabulous to sit in the high tundra and watch the bees.
How many little baby bumblebees do they have in their little wax ball?
The first brood, when the queen is doing all the rearing by herself, there's probably only maybe about half a dozen. As those workers hatch out, they can start foraging and helping her collect food for the next couple of batches of workers. And a large nest at this altitude, I would guess, might only have about 30 bees, 30, 40 bees in there.
Wow.
That shows you how important that is to keep that nest healthy. Yeah,
if you find a nest, you'll see that they're using the old cocoons that the worker bees hatched out of. They'll use those to store some honey, but they don't store a lot of honey because they're not trying to make enough honey to get through a whole winter the way honeybees are. They just need enough to get by from day to day. But they do collect pollen and that honey or nectar to feed the bees.
Wow, that's so cool. That is unbelievable. Oh, that is so cool.
I know. That is. Thank you so much, David, for
you're welcome.
That information. He's the guy that helped us out with the hummingbirds, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Fabulous.
Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So great. Man, I love that. I learned
just
whole lesson. About
I know.
Bees. Yeah. Super. Thank you so much,
thank
David.
Thank you so much,
appreciate
David.
You sharing
you're
that
welcome.
With everybody.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Oh, how cool
great to have
that?
Him listening to the show, huh? From the Rocky Mountain Biologic Lab up there, and local, knows what's going on here in our altitude and area. That's awesome.
Yep. That's the deal. You just get more information. The more information, I mean, and it just, this just blows me away. All because I saw that one little bee go into its hole. Yeah. I think I've found some of those little nest things from I think I might have found one once digging up, you know, the garden or digging up something and went, what the heck is this? You know, it looked very specific.
Uh huh. Right.
You know, it looked like, but it didn't look like a when the moths, those moths that make the big cutworms and they make the cocoon around themselves underground. And
right.
It didn't look like those. It was a little different.
Did you see the wax pollen ball?
No. I'm thinking, no, it was. Mm-hmm. I just saw like the leftover. Like everybody had split, and it was just this
done
little funny little. Uh-huh. Looking thing, you
Neat.
Know. Yeah.
You need native ground for those guys, too.
Yeah.
They're not really in the gardens that much. A little bit, but.
Native ground, meaning grasses and.
Grasses, sagebrush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember where I dug. You know, I could have been, who knows? You know, I might have been digging it up anywhere. But, I think
now
I
we know that, like
now
you say,
know.
Something specific like that, you might come across that and you want to. Keep that intact.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How fun is that?
Hey, we have time for one more call, 527-486-8 1-866 KVNF now. We were talking about the little maples that might be coming up around Scripps Tree, and you've got apricots coming up everywhere.
Yeah. Apricots are a weed this year.
They're a weed this year.
There were so many last year, and the squirrels and rodents buried them all over my garden.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No kidding. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I saw one, and I thought, wow. And then I picked it up, and sure enough, there was a little seed, but I mean a big seed, but I didn't totally recognize it as an apricot.
Yeah, so they're coming up all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
You know?
I like
so
that.
Cool.
And tomato volunteers. That's unusual for you, who doesn't have a lot of tomatoes.
No,
in his yard.
I don't do many tomatoes, but the tomato volunteers, they come up after all danger of frost.
So that's a pretty good sign.
Whoa.
That.
Yeah.
I like that. Those are my kind of indicators.
Yeah, that and marigolds.
The foolproof ones.
Right. The ones nature hands you.
Yeah.
Right? Well, morning glories sort of do that, too. Yeah. They don't come up until later.
Yeah, marigolds.
That's right. Marigolds
and
are
marigolds.
The frost thing, too.
Yeah.
Indicator plants. I like that.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. See, so you guys, okay, don't any. Here's the bottom line. Don't worry about anything. Just go out there and plant something.
There you go.
See what you get.
Something's
and
gonna
if
happen.
Something, if it does freeze, you still got lots of time to replant.
There you go.
Lots of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got, I was over in the other valley, they've got like, you know, well, they do here too, pepper starts and tomato starts. It's like,
give it a go.
You know, maybe.
That's right.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Now, you pulled out the spinach that wintered over.
Yeah.
How many months was that? Six?
Let's see, planted in September.
September, October. Yeah, at least 6 months, seven months.
6 months, yeah. Mm-hmm. Pulled it out, and I will edge that bed, and then I will broad fork it.
Okay.
I'm not going to use any fertilizer, and I'll plant the pearl millet.
And how long does that process take before you're putting the pearl millet in?
Well, I'm not going to put that in until at least a minimum of 2 weeks.
Uh-huh. Because you're broad forking, you want that all to break down?
No.
No,
you can cultivate and... usually, if you cultivate, you should let the ground settle a little bit, day or two. But I've seen people plant right into it.
Okay. Yeah. So that's just your timing.
Yeah. It's just what I got going on.
All right. Sounds good.
Amazing.
And I think this is going to dry up and the sun's going to come out. And
like the itsy bitsy spider.
Comes up the water spout,
down
the water spout. One more thing, you know, we were talking about apricots coming up like weeds, but you still have fruit in your trees, Lance.
Yes, I went around and I still have apricots on the top of the trees. I have one of my best crops of almonds set.
Uh-huh.
That's hard to comprehend.
Yeah, I still have peaches, plums, pears. The apples, it's a little early yet. Some are the lower ones, they've dried up, but the ones up on top, and they're still blooming.
Goodness. Are those in the sun, shade? What's the...
No.
Yeah, just
that almond tree
places.
Is definitely in the shade.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's on the north side of the mulberries.
Right. So I looked at my peaches, but I haven't looked at them lately. But I'll come back next week with a full peach report.
Excellent. Okay. We'll look forward to that.
Yeah. What's nice about when they're thin like this, you don't have to thin them.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
You just get to eat.
Yeah.
Boy, you had the winter over yard. That's amazing, the stuff that lasts all winter.
I'm sure my plums have set. And if they have, I'm going to have to, like, wire the plum tree together to keep it from crashing and burning.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
Because there's going to be thousands on there.
Thousands. We're looking forward to that report, too.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, I'm going to write it down. I'm going to bring the plum and peach report, everybody.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of another show. Thank you, Skip, for your call, and David for the lesson on bumblebees. Appreciate that. And we will be back next Tuesday. Dry and warm. Happy gardening. Thanks, Lance.
Okay.
Lulu.
Have a good evening.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to KVNF.
I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Lowly, low, and lowly.